Welcome back. 3:48, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM. It is indeed WTNT. Andy Parks, live from the Washington Times. It's Wednesday afternoon, and about this time, I always like to check in with Charlie Hurt, who, surprisingly, this week did not come out as a gay athlete, but he joins me anyway.
I remain a closeted gay athlete.
Well, if you come out, at least you get a phone call from the president.
that's the least he can do for me, you know?
Yeah. All right, so I saw your column, Obama, King of Glib, whines this stuff is hard. You know, I got to tell you something. Having watched both events, Saturday night and watching this press conference yesterday, that was a perfect description. He was comfortable in the role of his stand-up comic Saturday night, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's even quite good at it. Even if you don't really agree with him on politics, he's so good. He's so smooth and glib, and he can sort of drop those one-liners that are witty and even a little bit daring. And you can really even no matter how much you disagree with him, you have to hand it to him, and he's got that down pat. He knows how to read the audience. He knows how to drop a line and wait for the laughter. And then go in for the kill. But then, you fast forward from Saturday night to that press conference yesterday, and you really got the full treatment. Like, wow, this guy is not ready for prime time.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked and sounded like a school kid caught without his homework yesterday, you know? And a couple times, like questions, the one from Ed Henry that started everything off, you know, about Benghazi. And what was the other thing he talked about?
Bring up the Syria thing?
Yeah, that's it. The red line in Syria. Escaped me. Anyway, he just he looked out of place. He looked as though he really wasn't ready, even though you knew he had to be. He had to know he was going to get these questions.
You would think, and if he didn't, then he was woefully ill-served by his press secretary.
Yeah.
Or these people really do have their heads so far in the sand, they have no idea what, like, is going on out here.
Yeah.
But the one difference, Andy, I would say, between his performance yesterday and a school child that's been caught with his hand in the cookie jar, is that a school kid tends to have shame and tends to kind of stand around and kind of look at the ground like, oh, man, like, I'm in trouble. This guy didn't do that. He was just talking like if you just sort of closed your eyes and forgot that what he was saying was absolutely totally ridiculous, he made it sound like he was making sense. But I mean, like, for example, when he was talking about the Assad using chemical weapons in Syria against his own people. And then Obama goes on to say that the real danger here is we don't want these things to wind up in the wrong hands.
Yeah.
Seriously? What hands are they in now? Everyone seems to be in agreement right now that they have been used to kill thousands of his own people. What are the right hands here?
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Yeah, and I love the way he analyzed it by saying, we know, okay, we get indications he's used chemical weapons, but, we need to know who actually used them, how they used them, when they used them. And, I mean, honestly, I'd be willing to bet you dollars and donuts they already have all of that information. This is just a stall tactic, so he doesn't have to get his hands dirty in all of this, much less have to put our military into action. You know, knowing that would be detrimental to the Democrats and him personally,
to his legacy. Totally, totally a stall tactic. And he was talking about the chain of evidence. Who does he think did this?
Yeah.
The Red Cross? I mean, it's just incredible. And you're right. You know, the problem is that he made these promises that there's a red line after which there will be ramifications. He doesn't want to actually, now that that red line has clearly been crossed, he doesn't want to make his own people angry by actually doing what he said he was going to do. But, goodness knows that's not been a problem for him during his presidency. Just look at the fact that Gitmo is still open,
Yeah. And how about his reaction yesterday when Henry talked about this attack in Benghazi and the fact that there are witnesses that would like to come forward, these witnesses who would like to come forward and testify before Congress, but they're fearful for their jobs and their safety as a result of, you know, the State Department and the CIA making, or the administration making threats to these individuals who happen to work for the CIA and the State Department. He looked like, he had to know about this, yet he looked right at Henry and said, well, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'll check into it. And went out of his way to actually say that twice, at the beginning and at the end.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, he is being, you know, horribly ill-served by the people, you know, the press people around him and his own advisors. I mean, if it's possible that he is not aware of that. Or he's just kind of, you know, totally making it up just to get through the press conference. I honestly don't know which one is worse. They're both pretty equally terrible. If you want to take the guy seriously and you think he's going to, you know, you want him to deal with all these very grave situations seriously, mm-hmm. It makes you. I mean, I don't know how. You know, where's the outrage from all of the Democrats who were screaming their heads off at Condi Rice and President Bush and all these people for some of their missteps and misstatements about the war in Iraq? You know, where's the outrage? I don't see it.
Yeah, well, I don't see it at all, especially when it comes to Boston and Benghazi. They're non-existent. You know, the left is just, sitting back watching this guy go. Had George Bush still been in the White House, right now the left-wing press would be all over him about his failings in Benghazi and his failings, his national security failings in Boston. Lindsey Graham pointed that out yesterday, and the president stood right up there before the American people and said, well, I think Lindsey Graham is wrong. You know,
and accused him of saying it just to sort of goose ratings for something. I mean, what a horrible, disingenuous thing to say, all because you've just been nailed pretty hard on something pretty good, and so he goes after the person that raised the question and says, oh, you're just trying to get yourself attention.
Yeah.
Wow. Who's he talking about there? It sounds like something that maybe... That sounds like something maybe, you know, he would have done. But for him to sit there and claim that, you know, that it all worked, you know, the FBI did exactly its job as it was supposed to and Homeland Security worked, I don't think it did work. There most certainly was a problem here. And the fact that the FBI had the older brother in custody and determined that he was not a threat. How you can define that as a success?
Yeah.
When they went on to release him, and then the guy goes on to murder three people and injure dozens more. Wow. That's just off the hook. Out to lunch.
Hey, did you see his reaction to Jonathan Carl yesterday when Carl was talking about, Carl questioned why Obama didn't do anything. You know, he had the opportunity to do something regarding the sequesters, and he kind of shouted it out. He goes, well, why'd you go along with it? Then the president got really flustered, and then he went off on Congress, and he said, you know, it's their job to take care of this. Well, wait a minute. In the past, hasn't it been the president's job to sort of bring both sides together, sort of the playmaker? And he just threw that out yesterday. He threw that away.
And he also talked about how good he is at bringing the American people along, leading the American people, to pressure Congress to do all these things. And then he just sort of tries to deny any responsibility for himself. But I've said this a million times, I have said it a million more times. The thing to remember about this is, whether it's Benghazi or health care or taxes or anything, this president, when he started, had the Senate and the House in his control. This town has never been had such powerful one-party domination in memory, and he could have gotten anything he wanted to done. and he didn't do it. When and for him to sit around and complain now and say that Congress isn't going along with him is just such a despicable cop out.
Yep. Folks, if you haven't read it, check out Charlie's column. It's in today's Washington Times. It's called Obama, King of Glib, Whines, This Stuff is Hard. Charlie, always good to talk to you, my friend. We'll do it again. Thanks.
Thanks, Andy.
See ya. Charlie Hurt. It is 3:58, 7:30 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. More to come. Stay right here.